So when the Torah presents the children of Yaakov who are heading down to Mitzrayim, so one of the people here is Sarah Acholsam, Sarah, their sister. So Ramban picks up on this funny language, why didn't it just say Sarah? And similarly, in Parshas Pinchas, it says, V'shem Bas Asher Sarah. The daughter of Asher is Sarah. Why doesn't it just say Sarah? So Ramban says, and this is a Masorah the Rishonim have, that Sarah was not Asher's real daughter. Sarah was adopted, meaning Asher's wife already had children coming into the marriage, and one of them was Sarah. And nevertheless, she's called Bas Asher. So I want to discuss some halachic aspects of adoption as a kind of segue from there.
Who says that she wasn't his daughter?
The Ramban says this, and other Rishonim say it as well.
It says Bat Asher explicit. Why would
it say Bat Asher? No, it should have said... It should have said Sarah Bas Asher. It says Shem Bat Asher Sarah. It was written in a different way to tell you that she wasn't really his daughter, that her name was Bas Asher.
It wasn't Sarah Bat Asher.
The Ramban says, and other Rishonim have that tradition as well. So I want to use that as a springboard to discuss some issues related to adoption. So the Gemara Megillah, this is a somewhat famous Gemara, called Magadol Yosem V'Yisom Himself Beisom Mala Kasu Kilul Yoda. Somebody who raises an orphan in their house, meaning somebody who adopts a child, whether it's legally or not legally, they raise a child, it's considered as if they gave birth to them. So we consider that a good thing to do, a great chesed. That's the Gemara Megillah. You can look there for the source for that, but that's what the Gemara says. So what are some of the challenges here? So the first issue is yichus. The Mishnah Kedushin says that there's two concepts that we're not so familiar with. One is a shtuki and one is an asufi. What's a shtuki? A shtuki is kosher makir, it's imo veino makir sabbat. You have a child, and you don't know who the mother is, you don't know who the father is. So there's a takonami drabanan that you can't marry that person because there are questions about the kashrus of the child. And similarly, in a sufi is kol she nesaf min ashuk, you know, makir los avolos imo. Now it sounds like you don't know who the father or mother is, meaning anybody, but the Shulchan Aruch, I don't have it on the sheet, if you look in Simendal, in Halach Halamet, Sif Lamet Aleph, a Sufi is really somebody who you find a baby in a dumpster, meaning like the child was left for dead, basically. The Shulchan Aruch points out that if the parents did anything to ensure the child's safety, or they clothed him, or they did something to show that they cared about his welfare, that's not a real Sufi, that's just a child that you found. But and a Sufi here is, you know, that's not practical. We're not going to find a real Sufi. But the Nodu Yehuda brings up the following question: should you say that every child that you find, or meaning that you don't know if you don't know who the mother or the father is? So granted, it's not a Sufi if the biological parents took some care of it. But what about it being a shtuki? Meaning, if you don't know who the mother, if you don't know who the father is, and you know who the mother is, it's a shtuki. So maybe culture came if you don't know who the mother or the father. So another view that has a whole analysis, a chiddush din that based on kol kavu kemechza mechza. I don't have time to go into it, but he says that that's not the case, and that if you have a child and you don't know the origins of it, but you know that it was taken care of to some extent, meaning that the biological parents made sure to pass it on to somebody else. So that is, that's not a shtuki or an asufi, and that child can be converted or, you know, if there's a question of if he's for sure not Jewish, then he can be converted. If there's a question that maybe he's Jewish, there's no question of yichus there. So Hank in source 6 in Chuvas Ivra points out that the Nodeb Yehuda is somewhat of a chiddush, and the way to avoid that is to adopt from an agency as opposed to adopting just, directly or from some non-official channels. You adopt from an agency, you can avoid this problem. Ramosha also recommends going through an agency, but Rav Henkin points out that that's a chachila b'dieved. You're not going to have questions of yichus later on if it wasn't done like that. The next issue is the conversion of an adopted child different than regular conversion? So again, it's a 15-minute shiur. I don't have time to go through the whole sugya, but the normal channels of conversion of a child is the aviv imo haviyoso lebezin, that the parents bring him to the bezin. In this case, you don't have the biological parents bring him to the bezin. And if you normally convert a katan, so then higdili yichol limchos. So the Rambam in source number 7 points out, Yisrael shetakuf akum katan o matzah tinok akum v'yidbilo l'shem ger harizeh ger. A Jew takes a non-Jew that he found or that he just took, and he dunks him for the purpose of ger. That's a ger. So Lecha Mishnah points out that's not the regular channels of ger katan that we normally observe. This is a different parsha. So Rav Sternbach says that maybe this applies to adoption, that in a normal case of conversion, so you have the rule of Gdil Yechol and post that when they get older, they can kind of back out. Again, the applications of that are limited as well, but in a case of an adoption, that there's no option to back out, because this is like the Rambam's case of finding a child, in which case the Geirus is not Midin Ger Katan, but it's that the father sort of has bilus over this child, and therefore, when a Jewish parent has a certain, I don't want to use the word ownership, but has jurisdiction over the child, then the conversion goes through not midin ger katan, but through a separate channel, which does not allow for the katan to back out when he's older. The next question that comes up is the name of the child. So can the child be named after the adoptive father? So that's the Hagos. Maimini talks about this, the Tshuvas Maimini, which is a collection of the Tshuvas, the Ram Rubenberg. So he writes that there are three reasons to validate a document, that it was written ben the adoptive father. Number one, the Gemara in Source 3, Kolam Gadli Yosem Yisoma, Kehilu Yilado, that it's as if he gave birth to him, so a stepson is it's as if it's his father. Number two, you can use the term ben, meaning in a document. A document is a legalistic document, so it's just supposed to convey the information. So you can write ben as a term of endearment. So even though it's not really the father, but it's not a lie to say ben, even though it's not really the father. And based on the principle, this is assuming in his case where the mother is the meaning it's a stepson, so the mother is the biological mother, so Baal Ki Ishto can apply, and that since like in our case of Serach Bas Osher, that would be valid. And that's what the Ramah Paskins Halacha in source 11. The Chassam Sofer expands it also to an Alila Torah, and the Chassam Sofer quotes the Ramban that we started with, that the Ramban says that since Serach Bas Usher was called Serach Bas Usher, not because she was the actual daughter, but that was her name, Bas Usher, that's what she was called, and you see from here that it's a valid way to call somebody up to the Torah. So for Aliyah's Latorah, we're Mekel. For a Ged, it's little, there we're dealing with more serious matters. So Rav Moshe writes that you should write Ben Misha Nishkach Shmo V'Nikra Ben Ploni She Gadlo. He has two tshuvas. One he writes like that, or Bas Ploni She Gedaldo Kibito. You have to reference the fact, you can't just write Ben the adoptive parent, but you should reference in the name that that's an adoptive parent. Last 2 points. Kibud Av Ha'Em. So the Ramah in his Tshuvas in Siman Kuf Yud Chesed, source 14, discusses reciting Kaddish for an adoptive parent. So but let's just say in older times there was only one Kaddish, one person saying Kaddish at a time, so it was much more contentious, meaning so you have 20 Chiyuvim, so hopefully everyone got to say one Kaddish a day. So you have to figure out who was a chiyuv, who was not, and you couldn't just let somebody who was saying kaddish for his brother take the kaddish over somebody who really had it. So what about somebody who so Rama says that an adopted child should say kaddish for the parent, but he can't take kedima, he can't take away a kaddish from somebody else, because the person who's the biological child would have first rights to that. And some sofer says that as well. The Sechemet says that there are certain dinim of kibud avim that are more, meaning when it's not the parent, when it's a grandparent, those types of things. It's more of it's not the same type of kibud. The honor is not direct. So that's what. And so Sechemet says it should be along similar lines, that you should show respect, but it's not on the same level as the biological parent. The last point, Yichud, Rav Moshe was more machmir on this, that you have to worry about Yichud for the adopted child to be alone with the step-parent or with the adoptive parents. That could be a problem. The Tzitz Eliezer has a number of kulas, especially if the children were adopted at an age, at a young age, when there's no real chashav of an aveira. So the Tzitz Eliezer says that there is room to be makel here, and that you don't have to worry about the child and the parent and the adoptive parents being alone. So those are the issues. We discussed the Yichus issue, we discussed what name to be called to the Torah, we discussed Kaddish in the context of Kibud Avim, and then we discussed Yichus. I don't know.